Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk, and thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You know, this is where the industrial professional comes to talk. I am your cheerleader. I'm that industrial cheerleader that really is passionate about you, your company, and I got to tell you, I'm living a dream being able to have this opportunity. We're broadcasting from a sort of a new location. You can tell if you're looking at the video, you can tell all of the neat little warm enhances and all that stuff. So it's exciting for me, getting a little used to it, but nonetheless, it was great. This week's show, jammed. We've got a young lady by the name of Kim Bass, and she knows everything about data, and she is with Accenture. She's a manager there, and I'm just so glad that she made time in her busy schedule back in December with ReliabilityWeb.com's conference in Bonita Springs, and she just, I got a funny story to tell you, so let's get this show on the road and stop wasting time. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for joining. I really enjoyed last week's interview with Terry Saunders with IBM. We talked a lot about Watson and how Watson itself has just it's learning, and I honestly don't know where it's going to go, but I got to tell you, it's fascinating stuff. But once again, before we get going, let's start our tailgate.
Tailgate talk number one.
All right. I think I mentioned it last week. We got a Industrial Talk Podcast is putting on a webinar, and it's really just nuts and bolts, and it is specific to the millennial workforce. And if you're a business owner, if you have any desire to know what to do with the new workforce, please sign up. There's information out there. I'll put it out there, and please consider being a part of it and asking those difficult questions. The gentleman that will be answering them, because it's not me, because I wouldn't be able to, his name is John Grubbs. And I've had the fortunate opportunity to be able to work with him and interview him a couple of times, and he's spot on. So that is, once again, that is a webinar. It is called The Millennial Workforce, and it is out there on March 27th at 5:30 Central Time.
Number two.
Okay, I'm going to keep on pushing the leadership series that is being provided by BIC, BIC Magazine, BIC Alliance. It is, I think it's relevant to today, and that is coming up on the 4th of April, and as such, you got to get some tickets out there. Go out to BIC Magazine, look for BIC events, find that leadership link, and you'll get all the information there. I know for me, I am a horrible writer, and this would be a great event for me. Nonetheless, I think you need to consider it and look into it, because the guy that is running it, top notch. You will not go away without having great learning and insight, because that's what we're all about here at Industrial Talk Podcast.
Number three.
Okay, from a motivational point of view, I just want to make sure that we reiterate that this is 2018, no regrets, none. So you go out there, the information's out there, the solutions are out there. Are you all in? Let's make it happen, right? So do not have any regrets. 2018 is going to be a great year. You keep joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We'll set you up. No strings attached. We want you to be the best professional, industrial professional you can be. And it all gets down to learning and doing what you need to do. Okay, now, let's get on to the interview. Now, I'm out here and I'm looking on my computer. And of course, quite frankly, it's all there on LinkedIn. I really recommend, just like last week, you got to go out, you got to find Kimberly Bass, you got to see what she's all about, because unlike my LinkedIn profile, which I can improve, she has done so much. As I look through this, as I just scour, she'd worked for Honeywell, she'd worked for Duke Energy, DuPont. I mean, Progress Energy, she's been around and she knows what she's talking about. And for me, I just soaked this stuff up and she was just so kind. Now, a funny story, when we were at the Reliability Web Conference in Bonita Springs in December, I interviewed her. I had to interview her twice because the first time I just plain blew it. Technology, I'm still learning as we go. But doggone it, man. She was so kind. I called her back. I may have coped the heck out of the conversation, but man, she is just top notch. And so nonetheless, Kim Bass is going to be the next interview. And I just welcome her and hope you enjoy the interview. So anyway, Kim, you having a good conference?
Yes, it's been great. It's been great talking with all kinds of
people. Oh, yeah. What about that conference? What do you like about it and all that stuff? Is this the first time you were here, huh?
Yes, this is my first IMC conference. I've been to other maintenance conferences, but this is my first time here. There's a few things I like about this one. Great location, let me just say that.
It's real rough, isn't it?
This is a wonderful resort property for having a conference. But I like the structure of this one. So there's technical learning sessions. There's learning from each other type sessions. There's a lot of networking opportunities. And then they throw a little fun, you know, a couple of fun activities in. So I think it's balanced.
I like the
food. That's a good thing. Yeah. Where you're not just sitting in one big room listening to one person. You have a lot of, I like their track, their assortment of tracks.
Oh, it's they're all over the place. And
yes.
A lot of rooms and different topics. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a well-balanced, well-thought-out.
So, Kim, let's start with the beginning and where you came from and what's your background and all that good stuff and how you found yourself in Accenture as the manager of maintenance and reliability. Talk to us.
Okay, well, I come originally from North Carolina. And once I graduated from Georgia Tech with my mechanical engineering degree, I started my career in industry at a chemical plant in Louisiana. So that put me on the track for this maintenance and reliability lifestyle that I've been living, because I'll say it's a life. I started out doing maintenance in a chemical plant, moved on to other facilities such as an oil and gas refinery. Also did some utilities work. I spent time in a nuclear plant. Time on the coal side of the utilities industry, as well as corporate level reliability roles supporting multiple facilities or entire corporations of plants. So I've done my share of work, and I think the range of my experiences is what got me in a position where I was able to get into Accenture and be an industry solutions provider.
I'm just telling you right now, you're in a male-dominated business, and it's very unique to see a young lady like yourself decide that that's the path I want to take from a career point of view, and it's unique. And tell us why. I mean, I've got to know why that you chose that path.
I definitely was a daddy's girl. So my dad was a mechanic by trade and owned a mechanic shop for much of my childhood. So, you know, we had a lot of tools in the house. And I also observed a lot in going back and forth to the shop that he owned. So by nature, I was already, I think, mechanically inclined as far as a person that's hands-on, wanting to know how things work, gadgety with my toys, but then also having that type of father and being a daddy's girl kind of, I think, drove me toward the mechanical nature of my career selection. So I decided to be a mechanical engineer very young.
Oh, that's
very, very young. And, you know, I liked going to the hardware store. I liked when he used to fix stuff around the house or out doing stuff on the car. I was, you know, out there watching.
Now, Georgia Tech's got a great program. I mean,
right.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome. By the way, here's a little short. So you said North Carolina. I was a counselor at one of the the camps in Brevard, North Carolina, long ago. And coming from Barstow, California, which is in the middle of the desert in California, that was the first time I was really exposed to something that beautiful. Carolina,
oh, wow.
North Carolina is just like
yes,
off the
it is lovely.
Beauty. Yeah.
It's very lovely.
Absolutely. So here we are. You're with Essentia. You've got this wealth of knowledge and background and experience, and now you're in an environment such as Essentia. And what attracted you to Essentia as a company?
There was a few things. I think when I got to the point where I was looking for something else, I like the technology aspect of it. So, of course, Essentia is a huge company, but no matter what aspect of the company you look at, they're always driving towards the new, applying new technology to get new solutions. So for the type of personality I have, where you get bored easily or you want to address new problems and new issues, a company that's driving towards new solutions, that's pushing technology, especially in an industry like oil and gas and chemicals, that's traditionally slow to embrace new things.
Oh, absolutely.
And slow to take on new technologies, just to be part of the small group of people that are pushing the industry forward and that are helping to come up with solutions that will make it a better industry. That's very appealing to me. Additionally, I think the culture, you don't know the culture of any business until you're in there. But from everything that you read and look at about Essentia, they're very much about people development. I think people can set out their own career paths in Essentia. And it's a good culture for all kinds of people. So it's a company that drives, I think, progression across the world in working in different places and bringing people like me, who maybe I don't look like everyone else in this industry, but organizations like Essentia that put people out there, I think, are part of progression. So,
and I think a company that's as serious as Essentia, because they do a lot of great things. If I was young, just out of college or whatever, just starting my career, and I have an opportunity to get within the Essentia as a company and find myself in the reliability space, I would highly recommend that would be a great opportunity for anybody. And when we in the industrial area, some of the challenges is truly attracting the young people into using that or in the industrial as a career, an industrial career. I think that this would be just a great opportunity for anybody who has that desire, I think, because you get people like you who have that tremendous background in teaching and coaching and mentoring and all that good stuff.
I completely agree. I have worked with people from all kinds of backgrounds, and especially I'm impressed by what they allow their young, straight out of college talent to do. The challenges that they give them and let them run with, I wish I would have had that type of flexibility early in my career, but they really let them do it, and they do great. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm always impressed at how quickly the younger people. I don't know. It's just that. Let me just sort of make sure I'm clear here. Kim is young. I refer to her as young, so she's part of that young crowd because she's very talented and very capable. And unlike me, who is an absolute dinosaur and has a hard time processing. So anyway, so you're with Essentia now. What brings Essentia? I mean, how long has Essentia been into the reliability space and really focused from a firm perspective into that and see the value in it? How long?
As a firm, I think they've always, as far as I know, they've always had a stake in the industrial solutions provider arena. I think very consistently being an integrator and an implementer for ERP or enterprise resource systems like SAP is always going to be a driver in that is business because it's so critical to the day-to-day operations of that industry. But being able to provide additional solutions is the nature of consulting. When you see that there's other needs and other things, it's just been something that's growing and growing and expanding. And then with the challenges and the globalization of energy and chemicals, I think it's just even more challenges and more things that they can bring to the table as a long-term integrator and provider of solutions.
The reliability aspect of what they bring you, you're going to focus on the utility space. Is that inaccurate, or do you just sort of more?
I think oil and gas may be number one, and then chemicals might be two, or they might be tied.
Okay, very good. There are a lot of companies here at this particular conference.
Right.
A lot of companies that talk about we're beginning to end. We do a lot of you tell us what you need, we're going to be able to provide you with a solution from beginning to end. With that understanding, does Accenture find themselves having the ability to truly deliver beginning to end solutions? And so if I'm a company and I come to you, Kim, and I say, hey, I've been studying and I see the value of really implementing a reliability, you know, program within my company, and I need to know where to go. Like, what's step one from your perspective?
I think step one is always going to be finding out where you're at. Some type of baseline assessment or review or identification of what it is you're trying to do and where it is that you're at right now, what your barriers are. And then from that point, you can come up with a plan of what the first step is and what the long-term roadmap is.
And some of the challenges that I see, okay, so you got that, I always call it a, hey, here you are, this is your as-is state.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, this is where you're at. And then from that particular point, we want to be able to say, okay, as is, you're doing these things great. These things need to be improved. And we want to be able to go from here to your to-be state and whatever that might be and all things in between. As Accenture, I know that Accenture can deliver all of these services because you've got the strategic relationships and you also have that innovation center, which we will talk about in the next after our break. But once that happens, you feel comfortable with the ability to be able to say, okay, this is where you want to be. Then we can start laying out that program, that project line, and say, this is what we need to do.
Right.
Okay. Well, with that said, we're going to have to take a break. This is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. We are broadcasting live from IMC 2017, brought to you by ReliabilityWeb.com, and you hear some clapping in the background because it is live, and they're doing their thing in the background. So thank you, and thank you for listening. We'll be right back. All right, we're back with Kim Bass, and I really appreciate you being here with the Industrial Talk podcast. We are broadcasting live IMC 2017, brought to you by ReliabilityWeb.com. Really appreciate their kindness to be able to have the Industrial Talk podcast here and talking to all of these industry leaders. Now, Kim, we briefly touched upon it, but in our break, there is this focus here at this particular conference on technology, heavily tech, and the rapid state of that technology and how it's growing and changing, and what you adopt today might be, you know, obsolete. It seems like next week it's obsolete. Now, how does somebody like Accenture and the bunch of people who work for Accenture stay current with technologies that are within the, let's say, the reliability space, because there's, you know, all the other, you know, industries. So
how do we stay current? Well, probably right now there's a lot of investment in innovation centers. So we just opened one in Houston this year. And the innovation centers are basically opportunities for industry and organization to come in and look at the latest and greatest in technologies and come up with ways where it's applicable to solve real industry issues, to deliver real solutions that are going to work, that, you know, deliver something to the bottom line. So there's full-time people that's all that they do. We're invested in research, and we engage nearly every industry that's out there that I can think of. And so I think that's part of how we stay on the edge. We have that as a piece of our business structure. So it's not just the solution provider, but a solution builder and developer. And we hire people that are really smart, that, you know, stay on top of whatever it is that they do for Accenture. So if I'm focused on oil and gas and delivering innovative solutions, a lot of it's up to me to keep up with what's going on in the industry, what's out there and what's available, coming to these conferences, not just to try to promote Accenture, but to also listen to people, listen to their issues, and listen to the things that they're doing and what other people here are doing. And how does that fit in for us?
Are you approaching some of the tech companies here and just saying, hey, sounds like your tech is pretty cool, and we'd like to have an extended conversation with you about whatever?
Well, I mean, I've heard some pretty cool people make comments about the sensors and what their sensors are capable of. So smart devices and smart sensors are definitely a big thing for industry. But, you know, when you hear somebody say, well, my sensor, I can retrofit on any and everything, and you can instantly access all of the points that you put it on, it's like, well, I want to see how you're doing that or more about that.
Let's do it. Let's check it
out. Or, for instance, I went to a session where people were sharing what they did at their business. And I thought it was innovative that the person actually took the work order feedback, the words, and ran analytics on the words to find out the biggest feedback that they were getting in work order so that they could come up with new things to focus on. And they were just doing that with free technology that's out there, but that's a great solution. So coming here and hearing what other people are needing and wanting and doing just gives you more ideas. So now when I'm in the innovation center with a client and they have some other situation, it's hey, this solution might work for that too. So I think it's being out there, putting yourself out there, even just talking. It's not all about creating new business, but it's about learning and gaining more perspectives to what else can we do with the things that we have available to us. So this is part of it too. Like truly engaging your clients and customers and the industry is a part of staying up with the latest and greatest.
You know, it's interesting, and it was in another interview that I had, we were talking about two components, and you get it, and for me, it's I'm not as sharp as that. So it was the concept of, let me see, asset management versus maintenance programs, right?
Right.
And I said, okay, what's the difference now? From an Accenture point of view, I understand what now maintenance programs and doing the work on that asset that's on whatever that pump, that motor, whatever, and that's that doing it right, extending the life on that thing and doing. Now, does Accenture get into that sort of recommendation and saying, okay, here's a motor, and that motor has the requirements of XYZ, and in your planning, do you get down to that? I understand the asset management side of saying, from beginning to end, but then there's that in between there. That's the extension of that life cycle or that maintenance of that asset. Do you guys get into that the nuts and bolts of that?
Yes, we do. That's why they have people. That's why they have people like me on the staff. So when I say we do full range solutions, it's truly everything. So if a client, for instance, is having a specific asset issue or equipment issue that's beyond just having a good asset management program, but like, hey, really, what should you do? Or what approach do you need to take to handle like an issue? We do a lot of different things in that arena. So in a traditional maintenance system, and you're not looking for technology or some high-tech solution, we do go into facilities and do assessments and make recommendations, and help to drive people towards making good decisions with their issues. Like, this is how you approach equipment failures. This is how you, this is the type of data and information that you need to be looking at to make sure you're going down the right path, whether that's a technology solution like, there are simple technology solutions like root cause analysis software or other things that allow you to, or I guess technologies that can guide you down the right path. But I think that's a lot of what's driven us towards developing these analytical solutions using modern technology. We see that clients may struggle with very specific asset issues, and we go in and assess and talk to the people, look at the systems they're using, look at the tools that they have available for the people, and we make true, real recommendations. But we'll also, if you're ready to take that next step, we do have PhD data scientists that can write an algorithm that can give you the predictive analytics and the details that you need to hopefully catch your issues before they become a problem that's a showstopper. So we do the full gamut. It could be, hey, let me come help you deal with this specific thing, or it could be systematic, like let me help you put in a system that's going to help you not have that problem.
Yeah, because there are a lot of companies out there that truly get their hands dirty on that, and they're out there, you know, lining up the valve, the pump, or whatever it is, and And I just, pardon me, because the Accenture that I know is a very high-end professional services organization, and I don't see you out there at turning that wrench, but you have that capability and you have that knowledge, and you can do that guidance and coaching on that.
Right. I mean, yeah, several times this year I've put the Nomex on and gotten out in the units with the client side by side with their craft person assessing what they're doing. Why are you doing it like this? How are you doing it like that? What are you using? What made you end up doing this? And why are you going back and forth to get the parts? Or at what point did you know that this is what you were going to be doing today? Like, we do spend the time in the field. True enough, we're not maintenance services. We're not going to do your work for you, but we do go wherever we need to go to find the solution.
One of the things that fascinates me, and I don't have an answer. I might have some. I've just asked the question. One of the challenges with a reliability program is that the C-level individuals and what you're asking them to do. You're asking the C-level guy or person or whoever to look. They typically look quarterly, right?
Right.
And whenever you start to implement a maintenance program, there is a cost that increases, because typically the way they do it is like, no, don't do maintenance right now. Don't do maintenance, because that one for $1, one off, and you know, one at the bottom, they're gone. So they tend to sweat the assets. So when they come in and say, hey, Accenture, come on in here, let's do a little assessment of where we're at and what we're doing, and then you come up with your as is, and it's not a pretty sight, because I guarantee you that the assets have been sweated, but they need to have some maintenance on it. Your maintenance dollars go up. How do you talk to that individual about at the C level, saying, this is what you need to do. Incur this cost today, because tomorrow, whatever, 5 years down the road, it'll be better.
Right. I think that's the biggest challenge with a lot of what happens in the maintenance and reliability arena. So part of it is having the business knowledge behind maintenance. So understanding the maintenance value drivers. So I gave a presentation Monday on digital reliability centered maintenance and how a lot of the technologies right now drive faster, rapid, more accurate reliability improvements. But a part of my presentation focused on making sure your business understands maintenance value drivers. So the financial reasons that you do maintenance are asset utilization. So if you're having difficulties with uptime,
right,
an investment in maintenance should yield a better uptime and equipment performance. The same as resource allocation. So if you've got a set maintenance budget and a set amount of people that you have available to do the work, being more efficient, doing more with that same group of people, if you make an investment in maintenance to be able to do that, whether it be technology or just revamping your systems, you should yield the financial results on that back end. So those are important points to be able to directly tie. This is going to impact this specific maintenance value driver in this type of way.
Yeah.
And this is what you can expect to happen. But additionally, we do research and we stay ahead of the research that's being done in the industry, and where we're able to provide examples or cases where we've been able to prove it, we put those numbers out there. But you've got to be able to tie the value drivers and the value to what it is that you're trying to do. It's not about just enabling some new technology. It's got to be about solving a problem and driving value.
And what's interesting too, I've got a quarterly view. That's all I am. I'm looking at a quarterly view, shareholder value, whatever, and I'm trying to drive value to the bottom line. And yet, to implement a system like this, you're looking at, it's over a number of years to really start to reap the benefits. And that number of years is where the discipline applies. That culture of that reliability culture has to be continued to be nurtured and encouraged. And that's the tough area. But what challenges me, or what fascinates me, this is not pseudoscience. This is not something pie in the sky that sounds good on a piece of paper. It's proven time and time again. And yet, the adoption rate of any of these programs is still somewhat challenging.
Right, that's very true. And I recently read that the number one reason why data or technology projects fail is because of the leadership buy-in. So before you go implementing a reliability program change or putting in something new, even if it's not this big major cost or not this something that's going to take years and years to pay off, right. But you've got to get full leadership commitment, not just in signing off on the financial piece, like, yeah, I'll give you permission to buy it,
right.
But on the embracing it, on it's up to leadership to be committed, to establish expectations and to hold people to those expectations, because when you do that, then behaviors change.
Yeah.
And then once behaviors change, the culture changes.
Because it's like, I don't know, it's gone in a jet second when somebody who has been the push behind all of the whatever the program might be decides that she needs to go some other place, and then that passion is gone, and then nobody really, it's really a dynamic and management leadership issue, and when we start talking about reliability as a whole, the level of complexity can be pretty overwhelming,
right.
And as you communicate with that C-level and try to explain to those individuals about, yeah, if you do this and do this and check this out, and it can be quite monolithic in its you know, philosophy and nature. So that's a real challenge. We're going to be taking a break right now.
Okay.
Thank you once again to reliabilityrub.com for allowing Industrial Talk to be a part of the IMC 2017 conference. We are talking to Kim Bass, a wealth of knowledge, an incredible professional, and we are very fortunate to have her here. Please stand by. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, you got to mark your calendar for April 23rd through the 27th. And this is a reliability conference that is in Las Vegas, Nevada, brought to you by those wonderful people at reliabilityweb.com. It will have all of the great vendors that are there that are really focused and passionate on reliability, as well as the great content and education. It never ends. Those folks at reliabilityweb.com do a great job. Now, I will be there, just like I was at the IMC 2017 conference in Bonita Springs. So if you missed that, and that was in December, you need to make this one, and it is April. Once again, April 23rd through the 27th. This is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Go out to reliabilityweb.com. Get all the information you can about it. I will be there. I hope to see you, and you have a wonderful day. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We are broadcasting live from the IMC 2017 conference, brought to you by reliabilityweb.com. And once again, we've got a young lady by the name of Kim Bass here, and she's got an incredible amount of knowledge. And she understands the industrial reliability space quite well and understands the challenge. Now, we were talking briefly offline, and I'm very intrigued by this reality, is that you're unique in the sense that you were attracted to a utility space, and you had that industrial space, industrial background, and you have chosen that as a career path. Now, it is a male-dominated sport, whether we like it or not. How do you attract women into the industrial space? Because it doesn't require heavy lifting in a sense. Everything's all it's intelligence. That's where it is. It's professional intelligence. How do you do that?
I think it's very important for the women that are already in industry to stick with it. I can't tell you how many other lady engineers have, you know, left plants in tears, and it's just like, don't be emotional about it.
Right.
You know, we're just as qualified, we're just as capable, and we have something to bring to the table. So if you're able to, I think, provide a certain type of focus on outcomes and be a driver personality. So a lot of the ladies that I've noticed in industry have strong personalities. I'm not going to say you have to, but that's just something I've noticed. So you have to be a person with a kind of a tough skin. to really drive advancement. I mean, if you don't have tough skin, you can probably get in there and do your job and go home every day. But if you really want to make it better and more appealing for younger generations and continued generations of women to come in, I think it's very important to stick it out and to fight where you need to fight.
It's important to come up with the right solution. It's one thing that we drink our own Kool-Aid and you get in that conference room and you sit there and you sip your own Kool-Aid. Yeah, that's the way to go. That's the way to go. And you're not getting different perspectives. And you sit there and you don't achieve the real and true solution. And you need different perspectives, different thinking, different insights into challenges.
Right. And, women, we're definitely by nature going to experience the plant life and the plant work differently than a man, just by default. And yep. I think that's okay. You have to take your value in that and not see that as a weakness or some type of deficiency, but you have to take your value in and say, this is what I see, this is what I've experienced, and be thorough. If you deliver solutions, you deliver solutions. If they are successful, they're successful, and your gender or your background's not going to really stop that from showing. So if you can stay focused on being successful, doing things the right way, taking what you have and running with it. Maybe you're not a man and you're not going to get the locker room chat or the little man talk that they do on the side, and just be fine with that. Don't worry about it. That's not something you can control. That's not something that has to necessarily dominate any part of what you bring to the table. You're bringing what you bring. And if you can be confident in that and thorough and learn where you can. And if you do find gaps that somehow this is an advantage for them, find an advantage for yourself that only you have. Use that.
You're awesome. Man, yeah. I'm a new person because of you. My gosh, man. I'm ready to just conquer the world, Kim.
Thank you very much. There's no stopping.
You're awesome. Well, Kim, how does the listener is saying, oh, gosh, I like what she's saying. How do I get a hold of you?
Okay, well, there's a couple ways. You can definitely contact me at Accenture, kimberly.bass@accenture.com. I'm also on LinkedIn under Kimberly Bass, and it will say that I'm an industry and solutions provider.
Good.
And I'm listed under as an Accenture employee, so good. You'd be able to find me on LinkedIn pretty easily.
Oh, that's great. And I'm telling you right now, listeners, you got to get in contact at least be a part of her network and connect with her that way, because she's I'm telling you, man, she's very bright and capable and a professional that I'm honored to know and had the opportunity to interview you. Really, and she's very kind, because the first interview that we did was just absolutely botched by yours truly, me, and she's kind and she didn't make me feel foolish. I did that myself. So anyway, thank you very much, Kim, for being a part of the Industrial Talk podcast. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Hey, and thank you very much to the IMC 2017 conference, brought to you by ReliabilityWeb.com, to be able to provide this platform and a wonderful conference and all of the professionals. Thank you very much, and we will be right back. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right. Hey, I really want to thank you for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. I am really thankful for the opportunity and honor to be able to interview Miss Kim Bass. She was awesome. She knows what she's talking about. You got to go out there, find her out there on LinkedIn. I know she's got a Facebook account too, but doggone it, man, connect with her, because you will not be disappointed, because she knows exactly what you're doing or she's doing. Now, I want to just reiterate, we're out there. Industrial Talk podcast. We're out there all over the joint. We've got a LinkedIn. We've got our Facebook. We've got our Twitter. We've got even an Instagram. And I'm sure we got some other digital platform that I don't recall at this particular time. But I got to tell you, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to be able to be a just a part of the industrial world and to be a part of your life too as well. I will continue to do whatever I can to make this entertaining. Look at the new digs, man. What can you say? We're out there on we got YouTube. Find me out there. You get to see the video too, and you get to see the cool play. So once again, thank you very much. I really wish you the best this coming week. We're going to have some more great interviews. So be safe and take care, all of you.